Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
It is a Feast of Trumpets, and we have sounded the trumpets, have we not? We have worshiped. We have persevered. We are here, so praise Yahweh. I want to first, though, thank my wife, April, because she is a trooper, putting up with, she has six kids. She definitely has six kids, not only for putting up with us, but giving me time to study. You know, Joe, she sees the back of my head more than she sees the front, because I'm always in front of a computer sometimes and doing different things. But dear, I love you and thank you. And I just thank Yahweh for what he's doing in her life. Marriage is a wonderful institution, isn't it? You know, it's just great. I mean, I married Mrs. Wright. I didn't know her first name was Always, but I married Mrs. Wright. Ooh. It's so important. So, and marriage is such a great thing. We're going to talk about it in a little while. And talk about family a little bit today with Yom Teruah. We have five kids, as I said, and if we line them all up, it looks like an AT&T commercial. You know, more bars and more places. They all just, it's 10, 8, 5, 3, and 1. And the little girl, she's 19 months, as you saw her running around. There she is, Rebecca. And it's strange having a girl. It really is, because now we're doing girl toys and, like, you know, pretties and dresses and things like that. I never knew that. So I travel with my job, and so I was at a store recently, and I was at the mall, and I saw this toy store, and I walked in, and there was this Barbie doll there, and I said, she would love a Barbie. So I go in and, of course, ask, how much is it? And the guy says, well, he said, that's a special edition Barbie. That's Barbie Goes to the Gym. $19.95. Can you believe that? He said, oh, but let me show you this one. We got, you know, Barbie Goes to the Ball. She's in a big flowing dress. $19.95. We got Barbie Goes Shopping. She's got the bags here. $19.95. Barbie Goes to the Beach. Had on a bikini. Woo! Barbie Goes to the Beach. $19.95. They even had Barbie Goes to the Nightclub. Yeah. $19.95. And then he looks at me and says, let me show you something special we got. It's called Divorced Barbie. Divorce Barbie. And I said, well, how much is it? He said, $375. I look at him, I said, what in the world? He said, oh, yeah. He said, because you get Divorce Barbie. He said, but you also get, you know, Ken's car and Ken's house and Ken's dog and Ken's cat and Ken's furniture and all that come alongs with it. Never mind. You know, we've been through over 15 years together, and that relationship is a wonderful and a challenging thing, is it not? Right? Because you got to learn the two shall become one flesh. She didn't know I was going to talk about her today. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and the marriage discussion and family. I was with my parents this morning, and I was there, and my brother was there, and my brother-in-law was there, and I was just kind of looking at my brother. I don't know if you've ever met him before. And I just scratched my head. I said, Mom, I said, All right, I have two sisters, one brother, and I don't look like any of them. I really don't. We look nothing alike. We don't, do we? Okay. So I just scratched my head. I said, look, I've been wanting to ask you for 30 years, am I adopted? Because I look nothing like my brother or my sisters. And she starts to cry. I'm like, oh my goodness, my heart's pounding. She starts to cry. And she says, yes, Daniel, yes, my son, you were adopted. But it didn't work and they brought you back. Oh, that was bad. She said they brought me back. Anyway. We'll come back to that. Just hold on to that. We're going to talk about marriage a little bit, but let's talk about Yom Teruah while we're here. Really, it's to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, right? Sounding of shofars and all of this. And as I talked to you today, I will be using the names, you know, Yahweh, Yeshua, the sacred name of our Creator. And kind of give you a background of where I'm at. I grew up in the Baptist church. Any Baptist or ex-Baptist here? All right. We went from Baptist church to Baptist church to Baptist church. Church hoppers, right? That's the problem I heard somebody say with Protestants, is we don't know when to stop protesting. All we do is protest, and we protest, and we protest, and that's kind of what we do. And so we went from Baptist church to Baptist church, and I remember sermons. You remember sermons, right? Like this right here I'm talking to you about now, a message. To be real with you, I don't remember many sermons that changed my life. There really wasn't that many messages from the pulpit that were just that aha moment, and it changed who I was. There were a few. In 30 years, I'm thinking, you know, gosh, I've heard this sermon, I've heard that sermon. And you may or may not remember this message when it's done. But decision is yours. We have to allow the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to minister to us. Because I believe that we didn't just come here to act crazy and shout and eat a bunch of good food and then to leave. But we came here to be changed. We came here to come face to face with Yeshua. And as we do that, we change. And it's not a change because I'm speaking, but it's a change because Yahweh is speaking through us and through each other to minister to us. So we need to, as we begin, what I want to share with you today, just kind of place your heart on the altar and think about it. What we give Yahweh it's such a small offering compared to Calvary, isn't it? Compared to what Yeshua did for us. So I want you to think about that today and remember this sermon. Can I tell you a joke? Because everything else has been true stories. Can I tell you a joke? Okay. I do remember this sermon that this preacher gave. He got up there, I'm sure you've heard this before, and he just started pounding on the pulpit. You know, you pound when you don't have anything else to say, right? Right, Pastor Hattie? Isn't that right? You pound when you don't have anything else to say. And he got up there and he said, boy, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it down to the river and I'd dump it in the river. That's called hiccup preacher. He hiccups between words, okay? He said, if I had all the liquor in the world, I'd take it down to the river and I'd throw it in the river. He said, if I had all the pornography in the world, I'd take it down to the river and I'd throw it all in the river. And he said, that's what I'd do, that's what I'd do. And the people gave him a standing ovation. He sat back down and sermon was done and choir director got up and got the hymnal and said, please turn to hymn 385, Shall We Gather at the River? That'd be one to remember, wouldn't it? That would be one to remember. We're here for a commanded feast day of Yahweh. We're called to remember Him and get out of the spiritual sleep and slumber. So that pounding there is shouting us to wake up. It's a special time when the windows of heaven are open, when we can reach out to Him. Now, the word Yom Teruah, the day, is really special. The word Yom is Hebrew for day. And teruah literally means like a shouting cry. like a shrill cry, like one the little kids do when they're running from their daddy. Like, ah! Or like you've heard Indians, like on the movies. That's what it means. It's that loud shrill like you hear a shofar or a trumpet do. That's what the day is. And so the shofar, the ram's horn, is a means to an end, but we don't have to just have the shofar. We can also have our voices, right? We can have our voices. So it says in Leviticus 23, if you turn with me there to verse 23, Leviticus 23, verse 23 through 25, it says, Yahweh said to Moshe, said to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorating with trumpet blast. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to Yahweh by fire. So there's one of the commandments for meeting together today with these trumpets. In Numbers 29, it says, on the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. It is the day you should do no regular work. You are to sound the trumpets as an aroma pleasing to Yahweh. I believe that our shouting and our sounding has been an aroma pleasing to Yahweh. Do you agree? Amen. And so there's a lot of background here for this. In Psalm 81, it says to sound the shofar, the ram's horn, at the new moon. When the moon is full on the day of your feast, it is a decree for Israel. And Psalm 98:6 says, with trumpets, the blast of a ram's horn, shout for joy before Yahweh, our King. Shout for joy! It's interesting that the word teruah is used in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, shout, or teruah, for joy to Yahweh, all the earth. So we think of, oh, it's a day to blow the trumpets. But it's more than that. It's a day to shout. It's a day to hear from Yahweh and to come into His presence and for Him to alert us to remember. What are we to remember? It's not like Yom Kippur where we just fast all day. It's not like Passover when we remember the Exodus from Egypt. It's not like Sukkot when we remember, you know, the tents. So what are we to remember? There are many things we can remember. And I want to ask you to remember today the creation account, Yahweh's creation. Because He says that we were made Betzalmo, which means in His image. We were created, Adam was created, Adam was created in His image. And so if you turn to Genesis, Jewish tradition teaches us that Adam was created on this day, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And where they get this from is the first word in the scriptures is Bereshit. Bereshit. And if you were to take that word in the Hebrew and mix around, actually read it backwards, look at a couple of the words, it would actually say Aleph B'Tishrei. Aleph B'Tishrei means on the first, the Aleph of Tishrei. This is the seventh month. It is the month of Tishrei. And so from this, it's the birthday of Adam. Now we haven't sung happy birthday to Adam. I don't think we're going to. Unless it's a special music, Brother Joe? Not on the agenda. Okay. Aleph B'Tishrei. So I want you to think for a minute. Go with me, but that's the call of Yom Teruah, is to go back to Adam. That first Feast of Trumpets. Perfection. A divine relationship where Adam walked with Yahweh hand in hand, in the cool of the day. Nothing stopped them. There was no sin. There was no pain. There was no bill collectors calling to disrupt. I heard an amen back there. Thank you. You know? Take a deep breath for a second and just think about that. Consider the holiness of that relationship, that closeness. And I want to tell you something. On this Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, Yahweh expects nothing less. It's a high calling. It's a high call. You see, Yeshua said it in Matthew chapter 5. He said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5, 48. Be perfect? What, has he come to teach us about perfection? Yeah, I sure am. And I'm here to teach you that I'm not perfect. Just ask my wife, right? Just hang around me for a few minutes. Yet I can tell you that I'm a sojourner with you on the road to perfection in Yeshua. And together, we're on that journey, right? And so in Leviticus 11:44, that's what Yeshua was quoting. Vayikra 11:44, it says, "For I am Yahweh your Elohim, you shall therefore set yourselves apart, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Your Bible might say, "You shall be kadosh, because I am kadosh." Leviticus 20:26 says, "You shall be unto me holy, because I am holy." Now, that word holy or holiness, we think of it. Most Christians think of it that it means to be sinless. It's unattainable. You know, you're sinless. But biblically, it means to grow in spiritual maturity for that intimate relationship with Yeshua. That's true holiness. And it is the word in the scriptures, kadosh. Say that with me. Kadosh. Say it again. Kadosh. One more time. That's right. Three times it says, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts." Now, if you've been in the Messianic movement very long, you've probably heard that song. Paul Wilbur, other people sing Kadosh. Beautiful worship anthem that we sing about Yahweh being Kadosh, Yahweh being holy. And so, it's a word we get familiar with, and then we get an easy definition for it. So what do most people think holiness, you know, as believers, you know, we've been studying the scriptures. It's easy definition. What? To be kadosh, it means to be what? Come on. Set apart. Set apart. That's right. And we got the simple definition. It means to be set apart. That simple definition, I believe, has caused more pain and more hardship on us and on believers than it's actually helped us. Do you know why? Because we envision set apart means to be, oh, you sinner. I mean, oh, you Baptist. Or, I mean, oh, you cousin, brother, I'm holy. I'm keeping Torah now. I'm kadosh. Well, Yahweh says to be kadosh, it means to be set apart. You're down there, I'm up here. It gets this idea that we're elite. We're kadosh, we're holy. Holiness and weirdness are not synonyms. Can I say that again? Holiness and weirdness are not synonyms. I heard that some of y'all went down to the recent conference and somebody said it was a lot like fruitcake. You get some nuts and you get some fruit and it's all mixed up together. Holy garments, you know, the tallits and tallit katans and diets and oils and Hebrew words and calendars. All these things are good, but they can also become weapons. They can become weapons. Kadosh does not mean to be weird. And I submit to you today, it doesn't even mean to be set apart from the world. It means to be set apart in the world. Because Yeshua said, what? What did he say? You ought to be in the world, but not of the world. So to be kadosh doesn't mean that you are reclusive. Don't you know some people like that? Oh, I'm keeping the right calendar. Or, you know, I can't come there that day. Or, can you imagine somebody once told us that, you know, your kids just, they're not good role models for our children. We don't want to fellowship with you anymore. Yeah. I said, my kids aren't role models, they're children. Yeshua's the role model. If you're looking at my kids, you are in deep trouble. Isn't that right? Some people do that, though. They separate themselves, and they get so wrapped up in having their doctrines right, and their theologies right, and their beliefs right, that anybody else is contrary. Oh, you're over here, because I'm kadosh. You know, I'm kadosh. You know, and it says, doesn't it say, you know, come out of Babylon, touch not the unclean thing. Well, as our brother read earlier, the unclean thing is not people. That's just what you read earlier. That was that vision that he had. You remember when the unclean animals and the clean animals were on that sheet together and they said, oh, take and eat. He wasn't saying, go have yourself a BLT. Because what happened? They went and took the message to the Gentiles. Your family, your friends, your ex-friends, maybe even your ex-family, are not unclean. They need the gospel. They need your light. They need you. They need us. And so sometimes as we separate ourselves from them, guess what happens? We don't shine that light, and they look at us as being self-righteous. And guess what we are? Self-righteous. Now, there's a time to where we got to step aside, right? And when you do, that's when Yahweh speaks to you, and you step aside, and you pull away. But the majority of the time, we should be in the world, but not of the world. The Torah is for all mankind, but yet if we're reclusive, or if we get weird, or if we just always come off as offensive? How are we ever going to help Yeshua's call to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Is that going to happen? I want to confess to you. Somebody have on a collar I can confess? Thank you, sister. Thank you. My wife and I did something I never thought I'd do. My wife and I on Wednesday night went to the Church of the Chosen Frozen. I mean, the First Baptist Church in our town. We were invited to come to Bible study. That's the first invite to a Bible study I've had in a long time. And you know, most of them are like, you just stay over there. And so we went. And for an hour and a half, I sat there. I didn't say a word. Can you believe that? Can you believe it? Didn't say a word. I walked in and the guy that I knew was sitting right there, he looked at me and his eyes got as big as quarters, like, oh my goodness, what's he doing here? And they were doing a Bible study on some men's things. My wife went, they were having a study on Esther. But we felt led of Yahweh to go. Prayed about it. Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable because I don't want to go back to Babylon, right? No. But we felt, hey, they're going to have a Bible study. They're going to do this. And we went in, and the guys were looking over a book. They'd been reading a book. They just started. It was the first chapter, a men's book. So they give me a book, and I said, here, sir, and just, you know, I'm just listening, and I just start reading over the book real fast, and on the first page of the book is the name Yahweh. I start scratching my head. I said, this is strange for a, wow. And then after it's done, my wife and I get to talk, and she said, Daniel, I sat down at the table, and I looked down, and drawn in the table were two Star of Davids right where I was sitting. I said, well, maybe that was a little confirmation there. But we went there, and we shared some light. Now, granted, I didn't say anything. But we felt led to do that. And you know what happened? I was touched by the men in that room, just sharing their hearts. An 86-year-old man that was taking care of his wife who had Alzheimer's, who about once a week remembered who he was, who just broke down in tears saying that he was so thankful he had a group of guys that he could talk to about his struggles that he had. Then there was this guy sitting beside me, an ex-Catholic, talking about the Holy Spirit and infilling you and this and that. And I'm like, where, this is like, time zone. And I had to come home and repent. Now, I'm not suggesting, you know, go enroll in the Baptist church next week. But what I am suggesting is, when Yahweh opens a door for us to reach out or to be who we are, then we need to go through that. Is that right? See, there was a sense of holiness in that room. There was. And yet, none of those guys were weird. It was amazing. It really was amazing. Kadosh, the word kadosh, it comes from the root word kadosh, which means to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be sanctified, to separate. Notice the words consecrate. It says dedicate, honor, or hallow. More than just set apart. There's a lot of messianics that talk the talk, you know, about being set apart. And I'm almost to the place of, true holiness is more than just having the right doctrine or having the right name or having the right Sabbath. It's more than that. And we can get this big old head like we got it, and we don't even realize we got that big head sometimes. See, can I just go there for a second? All right, say, go there. All right. The Messianic movement has built a theology around their theology of being set apart. See, people put this fence around our doctrines, and, you know, holiness is having the right doctrines. That's, you know, got to get it all straight. You're never going to get it all straight. Never. You're never going to get all the paganism out. I hate to break it to you. And the more you study, the more you realize there's paganism in this and paganism in that. True holiness is walking blameless before Yahweh, not just in what you think, but what you do, and helping those in need. I had a messianic believer tell me recently. She said, you know, Daniel, I keep kosher, keep the feast days, I keep the Shabbat, wear a head covering, I do all these things, and yet when I was in the church, I was closer to Yahweh than I am now. Think about that. That may be you right now. James, the book of Yaakov, it says in chapter 1, verse 27, religion that Yahweh our Father accepts is pure and faultless as this. Look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep yourself from being polluted from the world. That doesn't mean we got to have our own commune on the other side of town. Boy, I thought about it. Wouldn't that be easy? Wouldn't that be easy? Joe, let's just get us a trailer park. You know, we'll just, you know what I'm saying? The word kadosh. There's another word, kiddush. Heard the word kiddush before? Kiddush is the distinction made on Friday night and on the Sabbath when you have that cup of joy. The wine. You have that kiddush and you do the blessing. And you have that, it's called the Kiddush cup. And there's that prayer, Baruch Atah Yahweh Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaGafen. And it's called Kiddush because it should remind the believer to sanctify that day. And so the rabbis have actually said that the Sabbath doesn't begin at sundown. It doesn't begin when you light the candles. It begins when you sip the cup of joy, because you should always welcome the Sabbath with joy. Because it's that sweetness that makes the distinction of the against the other days. Do you know what? True holiness is sweet. It's not bitter. You know some bitter people out there? True holiness attracts people to you. It doesn't repel people away. There's another term I want to share with you. Who here have heard of kiddushin? Kiddushin. Kiddushin is a good Hebrew word. Kiddushin comes from the word kadosh, And in Hebrew today, kiddushin is the word for marriage. Kiddushin is also the word for the betrothal. You see, there's the proposal, and then there's the kiddushin, the betrothal, the time getting ready for the marriage, getting ready for the wedding, when the engagement is taking place. In biblical times, the bridegroom proposed to the beloved, and they offered the kiddush cup. Drink of this. If chosen, if the woman agreed, she would drink that. She sipped from the cup and was betrothed to him. Kiddushin, it's when the man would go and prepare a home for the new bride. He's working, he's preparing, getting that mansion ready. Does this sound familiar to you? I mean, didn't Yeshua lift the cup up before his death? Didn't he say, John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in Yahweh, trust also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, I've got a mansion way over the hilltop, right? Look up that word. Do you know what it really means? It means chamber. Like a chamber, like a wedding chamber. It means a little room. It's just, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He was speaking about the Hebrew wedding. And these words are very similar to the words of the traditional Jewish wedding. Yeshua was affirming to us that we are the bride. Yeshua's the bridegroom. And we are now, guess what, in Kiddushin. We've been betrothed to Yeshua. He's there preparing the place for us. We're waiting the marriage supper. And guess what we need to be doing? Getting our garments ready because the wedding day is coming. We should be working on our personal holiness. I've had the pleasure of performing 3 messianic weddings. One has already ended in divorce, so I'm 2 for 3. Anyway. It's amazing the way the Hebrew wedding for 3,000 years begins. It's traditional. It's the same way if you've ever been to one. The shofar sounds, and a man raises his voice and shouts out, Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Isn't it interesting that Yeshua talked about that? Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. The book of Luke 13. Luke 13. Verse 34 and 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, stones those sent to you. How often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Verse 35, look, your house is left in desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. He was saying, you will not see me again until it's time for the wedding. Until your garments are ready and the chamber is ready and the Father says, go get your bride. It's the exact phrase used at the start of a wedding. So let me ask you, how close are we? It's easy to recognize Yom Teruah as the day that Yeshua could return. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched, you know, Christian broadcasting or TBN or these different channels where they have all these timelines. They come up, oh, well, this is going to happen then, and this could happen then. And, you know, they had to redo them after the whole Catholic thing and Islam and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, they have these timelines. I believe that the feast days are prophetic for end time events. And it's my belief that the Feast of Trumpets is prophetic of the return of Yeshua. Such an idea is easy to accept. Think about this. In Matthew 24, 31, it says, He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather together the elect from the four corners of the earth. Just like we pray, the Amidah. Luke 21, it says, The Son of Man coming in the cloud. In 1 Corinthians, that's probably where we know it, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet sound, the last shofar sound. The shofar will sound, the dead in Messiah shall rise first. We will be changed. The perishable must put on, clothe itself with imperishable, the mortal with immortality. 1 Thessalonians speaks of it. In chapter 4, it says, For Yahweh Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, a loud shofar, a loud teruah, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet call of Elohim, the dead and Messiah will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with Him in the clouds. So how close are we? We can read books, we can look at the signs around us. I mean, could it be next year? Could be. Could it be 2012? Could it be 2017? You heard that? I mean, think about it. Tribulation signs are obvious, right? Earthquakes are on the rise. Natural disasters, economies in turmoil. Mark Sanford's governor. I mean, there's all these things. I don't know about you, but I used to think there's no way one guy could come on the scene and fool so many people. But I sure do now. I sure do now. I used to think there's no way people were going to give up the dollar, one world currency. That's just bologna. Bologna, baloney. It's just baloney. But I sure do now, as we see the dollar start decreasing in value. How close are we? How close do you think? I mean, could it be today? I mean, could it be soon? How close are we? Think for a minute about that. Don't dwell on the date of His return. Think for a minute, how close are you to Him? If people spent all the time they do on the date and the timing of His return, and all the study on prophecy, if they would just spend that time and work on their relationship with Yeshua and with other people, we'd be a lot closer. We'd be a lot better off. Do you agree? He would be back. He would be back. But we get so wrapped up in our doctrines and our theologies and our being weird. The greatest commandment is not to know when Yeshua's coming back. It's to love Yahweh and to love your neighbor. So are we prepared? Is our wedding garment spotless? I remember when April and I got ready to get married, and I'm a little cheap. It runs in the family. And we got our wedding gown at a secondhand store. It had a stain on it. But it was a good price, and it fit. And I'm cheap. And it was beautiful. But there's a stain on it. And so she sent it off, and they said, oh, yeah, the dry cleaners, we can get it done. We can get it clean, no problem. You will be beautiful for the wedding. So the next day, they go to pick it up. 11 o'clock, supposed to be ready. They've lost it. They can't find it. They don't know where it is. She's calling me up just crying, all frantic. So, of course, we prayed. We just hoped. Within a couple hours, we got that phone call. Not only had they found it, but the spot was gone. We just had to wait a little bit longer. than we thought. As we're removing our spots, maybe we have to wait a little more. My heart's desire is for him to come right now, part the eastern sky, and to go home. I want to go home. But yet there's a lot of work to be done. So if our wedding gown has got anger, if it's got hatred, if our wedding gown is full of sorrow, if our wedding gown, we look at ourselves and we don't think we're worthy, we look at ourselves, we don't love ourselves. If our wedding gown has got unforgiveness, if our wedding gown is soiled with gossip, lashon hara, evil speech, hatred for people, lying, if our wedding gown has got all this on it, if your wedding gown is like mine, I don't think I want him to come back. Because I'm not where I need to be. Now my heart's desire, come quickly, Yeshua. But in reality, I'm saying I've got to look at myself and look at my actions and look at my thoughts and say, I've got to clean up my act. Notice I didn't say I've got to clean up my theology. Whether you're new to the Messianic movement, you've been doing this for 10, 15 years, our thirst for knowledge has become a sin. Our thirst for knowledge has become a sin. What happened to listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and then going there? I don't know about you, but I've run ahead of him sometimes. How are our wedding garments? We are betrothed. It's Kiddushin time. We've got to be getting ready. And we've got to be careful because the wedding means there's judgment and there is rewards. Revelation 18:3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, it says, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. He's jealous over us. Now we look at ourselves and say, what is there to be jealous over? What he's looking for is a willing vessel, someone that would seek him, someone that would call upon him. And that would be open to follow. Our bridegroom is gone to prepare the wedding chamber. We're supposed to be here getting our garments ready. And we've got to have our wicks and our lights ready. We've got to have oil in our lamp. The watchman is out waiting and watching for the cry. In Matthew 9:15, Yeshua said, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they will fast. That is a picture of us today. The bridegroom is taken away. What comes after Yom Teruah? What's 10 days later? The fast, Yom Kippur. Do you see how it all comes together? Am I helping paint this picture for you? That the prophecies are there that we're supposed to be getting ourselves ready. We're supposed to be getting ready for the fast. And while we wait on the return, we are to be faithful. We are to be watchful. We are to be alert. When people ask me, when is Yeshua coming back? My response usually is, when his daddy tells him to. It makes sense, doesn't it? Luke 21 verse 36 though is the verse for us, because we don't know what to do sometimes. We cut on the TV and there's All these things are occurring. And it says in Luke 21:36, it says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." We're to be watchful and be watchmen, and we are to pray, and we are to be counted worthy. That word worthy could also mean perfect or holy or kadosh. He says, make sure your wedding garment is ready. Make sure your lamp has oil, because you don't know when the Son of Man will come. Our theologies have changed and changed and changed. And something I learned that day, sitting in the Baptist church with my mouth completely shut, was that these guys might not have an inkling of the two houses of Israel. Hebrew, the names, any of us. But these people had a sense of holiness in their morals that I've not seen in a lot of Messianic believers. Oh yeah, they can tell about, you know, Constantine, but then they'll spit in your face if you turn on them, or if you turn the other way, or you turn, you know, whatever it happens to be. Yahweh has worked a lot out of our theological error. He's got a lot of that out. I believe now he's working on our hearts. I believe that. I believe that people like Jan and Craig and Bach and Angus Wooten and others have been trailblazers in this movement to help us work out our theologies. So now as we get our theology straight, we can get our hearts right. That's what holiness is. It's that special preparation that we need to have this day. Yahweh's purifying our souls, our attitudes, our heads, our thoughts. So today is Shabbat, it's Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, and it's also the first 10 days of all, the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah in Hebrew. Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, which means the 10 days of Teshuvah, the 10 days of all, the 10 days of returning, of turning and returning, the 10 days of repentance. And we are told that what we do during these 10 days is very, very, very important, because it affects who we are in the spirit realm. 10 days of soul searching, of turning back from our sins before Yom Kippur. It is not, everybody say not. It is not a time to sit back and say, "Oh Yahweh, I love you. Purify me. Cleanse me." It is not that time. It is time to say, "Oh Yahweh, I love you. Forgive me. Lead me so I can purify myself." I want to end with a couple of verses. First of all, is 2 Corinthians 7:1. My dear brother Ephraim Frank shared this with me at an IHOP one morning. International House of Potatoes, that's right. And so we were at the pancakes, that's right. We were sitting there, and he spouted it off real fast as he got to talking. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 slow down. Say that verse one more time." I took out a pen, I wrote it down on a napkin. It says, "Since we have these promises," what promises? "Since we have the Torah, we're working on our theology, we got the names, we got the Shabbat, we got the feast days, we got the Zitzit. Since we have these promises, let us purify ourselves then of everything that contaminates both body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to Yahweh." Now that we got the Torah, Now that we got our mind wrapped around it a little bit, now it's time to get our body and spirit purified through his Torah and get out everything that contaminates it. And then it says that, perfecting kedoshim out of reverence to Yahweh. Why? Because the wedding is coming. Yeshua's coming for his bride, and we need to be ready. It's amazing, but that verse was written in Corinthians because in the book of 2 Peter is almost the same exact words. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Second Peter 1, verse 4 is one of these verses I've been meditating on for weeks. I get a verse, and I write it on an index card, and I stick it in the dial of my car. I stick it right over the speedometer, because I don't watch my speed. So I just stick it right there. It's true. I stick it right there. See what Yahweh has for me. And it says, through his very great and precious promises, we may participate in the divine nature and escape corruption in the world caused by our evil desires. That Yahweh has given us these very great and precious promises of the Torah so that through them we can participate in the what? Divine nature and escape corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What is Yahweh's divine nature? What did he say in Leviticus 11:44? He said, I am Kadosh. You must be Kadosh. Do you know what his divine nature is? It's holy. It's set apart. It's not weird. It's not sinful. It's not mean. It's not rude. It's not all those things that are listed in the flesh. He said, I am holy. And there, here it says, we can participate in the divine nature. Do you know what that means? Joey, that means that his nature, his kadosh, his holiness is more than just a promise. It's more than just an idea. It is something we can participate in. We can experience. And it's only through his holiness that we escape corruption in this world. The next 10 days leading up to Yom Kippur, that's when the fire, the flames happen. We get tested. We've got to apply that bleach, that stain cleaner, to get our garments ready. Yeshua is calling us to take that other step. That next step, to go farther. Where we were yesterday, where we are today, is not okay. And if we will climb on that altar, if we will present ourselves to him, if we will repent and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. The sound of a shofar, I want to ask Brother Joe to come and sound that as we finish, is a sound you may hear in your future. As we are there saying, Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. That restoration of Israel is going to precede the sounding of a heavenly trumpet and the return of Yeshua. But that restoration of Israel will not come until we as a people begin to walk in kedoshim, begin to walk in holiness, begin to walk in his divine nature. So it's my prayer that we'll be ready for his return. Amen. So I want to say a prayer, but I want to ask Brother Joe to sound the shofar. So, Father Yahweh, we pray at this moment, as Yom Teruah is ending, as the first of the 10 days of all are finishing, that you would forgive us of our sins. We confess them before you now. Father, we pray that you would help us, that your Ruach HaKodesh would cleanse us, and that, Father, when we have strayed, you would bring to our minds so that we could confess and therefore receive forgiveness. For idolatry, for adultery, for fornication, for uncleanliness, for indecency, for hatred, for quarrels, for jealousies, for rage, for strife, for selfish ambition, for stubbornness, for heresies, for envy, for murder, for drunkenness, for wild indecent parties and all such thing, your word tells us that those who participate in them will have no place and will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But your divine nature is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. May that be our nature. May you, Abba, make this a message that we remember and not one that we forget. And may the sounding of a shofar remind us that our wedding time is coming. And we need to be serious, not just about what we believe, but who we are. Father, give us a heart for each other. Hearts of compassion. Hearts of passion for you and compassion for others. Father, help us to be more like Yeshua. That over these next 10 days and over this next year, that you would increase and we would decrease. And so that your holiness would attract people to us. We give you thanks for Yeshua, for the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, for this place that we could come and worship before you, in the beauty of your holiness. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.